So we're on the bottom of Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, and we're about to turn to Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, but I think we still have a little bit of work here to finish up on the bottom of Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. So we've been learning about the Tzad HaShoveh, and our ultimate goal is to derive the conclusion that Gediba Chalev Imo is Lav Dafka. It's not limited to an Aes, meaning that you cook the meat of the Gedi with the Chalev Aes of Imo, but it includes even Chalev Para and Rachel. And we're going to try to derive Rachel and Para and Rachel from a Tzad HaShoveh. And in this Tzad HaShoveh, we have an ingredient, a variable, which is called Nichneses Imo Ladir Lehis Aser. And that means that you can only have animals together to make up the number 10 for Maser if those animals belong to the same group, which would be Bakar or be Tzon, but you can't mix between Tzon and Bakar. So that halacha that we studied yesterday becomes very relevant in terms of this whole matrix here called the Tzad HaShoveh. Now, if you take a look towards the bottom of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, you'll see a Gemara that starts E Hachi. Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Sorry, I meant to say Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. See if you can find a Gemara towards the bottom that says E Hachi. Achoso Gdola Nami Teisei Mibeinaya. Which means that the Gemara wants to now derive the Iser of Bishul Gidi, Basa Gidi, Bechalev Para from a Tzad HaShoveh between Gidi and Chalev Rachel, which is called Achoso Haktana. Now let's just see how we would try to explain the logic of this Gemara that we can derive Para from Rachel through this Tzad HaShoveh. So the way Rashi interprets this Gemara, we're going to have the following Kal Vachomer. In the case of an Aes, let's say Cholav Aes, which is called Imo in the literal sense, so then obviously the mother and the Gdi, the Aes and the Gdi, belong to the same exact species. And therefore, as far as Masa Behem is concerned, they're all included together under the number 10, in order to generate a chiyuv of maaser behemah. And therefore, we have a chiddush of the Torah that is an iser bishul basar b'chalav b'chalev imo b'chalev ha'ez, even though there's no richuk here, there's no chaluka here between the two. They're all the same species. And we should be able to derive Para with a Kal Vachomer, because in the case of Para we have a Chaluka, meaning it's separate, it's distanced from A's, because you could not take a Para and calculate it in the 10, in the deer, for Master Behemoth together with an A's. And it makes sense now to derive the Isur Bishul with the Kal V'Chomer, if there's an Isur Bishul B'Chalev Imo, when you really haven't stretched your arm outside of the bin, then how much more so in the case of Chalev Para, where you've really mixed two different meanings. And how do I know that Para is a different bin? I see it from the halacha of Eino Nechneses Imo L'dir L'Saseh, that Para belongs to the category called Bakar, whereas Aes belongs to the category called Son, and Ema Asrim Zalzet, they cannot integrate into Maser Behema. Now on this Kal V'Chomer, we have a Pircha from Shechita. Why? Because in the case of Shechita, the Torah prohibits the mother and the son, or the mother and the offspring, will say, V'yom Echad, Dafka, because they belong to the same bin. So instead of being machmir in Basa B'Cholav, as we wanted to, based on Eina Nechneses Imo L'dir because of Chaluka, we see from the paradigm from the case of Shechita that the Torah is more machmir Dafka because it's the same bin. We'll call it Kiruv instead of Richuk. For example, if you would shecht a para and a gedi on one day, that's not a prohibition. It's only because you shechted an aes together with a gedi, the mother with the child, on the same day that you violate the isur shechita. So your underlying logic in the Kal V'Chomer was based on what we call richuk, that if the Torah says it's an isur bishul basur b'chol in the case of gedi and chalev imo of the A's, which is all one bin, then Kal V'Chomer, how much more so should there be an isur bishul in the case of gedi with chalev para, which clearly is a different bin, and we prove that from the din of maaseh. But now we're going to use shechita as a pircha to that Kal V'Chomer, because we're going to see that in Shechita, dafka, because they belong to the same bin, and you shechted the mother and the child on the same day, you violate this isur. The Torah is being more machmir because of the similarity rather than the dissimilarity, if there's such a word.
Yes, there is.
So therefore, we cannot derive any conclusions about Basa B'Chov in the case of Parah based on the fact that there's Richuk, because Adarabba, he had no sentence. The kiruv, the fact that there's a similarity, is what generates the isur. Now, at this point, we're going to introduce a tochiach, right? Every tzara shava has a Kal V'Chomer with a pircha, then a tochiach. The tochiach is to neutralize the pircha. So, what's going to be the tochiach here? It's going to be a choso aktana, which means Rachel. In the case of Achoso Ketana, she is a member of the same group as the A's, because they both belong to the group called Tzon, and therefore she's Nechneses Imo L'dir L'Aser. So you can have in this deer a combination of goats and sheep, and the tenth animal will become Kodesh L'Maser Behem. And yet she's Asura in Bishul Basa B'Cholav. Now, before we get into the nitty gritty details here, which is going to be a whole long discussion here, that's going to hopefully lead up to a whole other pshat in this Gemara, that's Rabbi Yosef Tuvela, but before we get to that, the strange enigmatic piece of this puzzle is that the Gemara now is assuming that Achoso Ketana, that Rachel, is included in Basa B'Cholav. Now, to appreciate that, we'd have to go back a few lines before the Ihachi, and you'll see right before that that it says Af Ani Avi Achoso Ketana. Do you see those words?
Right.
Right before the Ihachi that we started with today.
Right.
So we're going to have to lay down a premise that has to be ironed out that achosa aktana, meaning Rachel, is definitely included in the isur basa b'cholov, even though it's very similar to the case of Eitz, because it's the nechneses imo l'dir with the Eitz. So we see clearly that there's an isur bishul basa b'cholov even in similarity. And now we're going to derive a kal v'chomer that certainly achosa gedola, which is the para, which is dissimilar, right? Because eino nechneses imo l'sasa, certainly there should be an isur bishul basa b'cholov. Now, at this point, the Gemara seems to accept that logic. Now, why is the Gemara accepting that logic? Because I think what the Gemara is saying, if I understand correctly, is that Rachel, in its relationship to Eitz, is a very complex relationship. As far as Maisa Behem is concerned, it's kind of like Min Echad, because they both belong to the membership of the Tzon Club. But as far as Minim are concerned, let's say, for example, for Osom V'Espino, these are Shechita V'Yom Echad, they are two different Minim.
Yes.
So that if we emphasize the Shechita Halacha, we want to say that the Torah is Dafka Machmir because of the similarity, because it's Eiz and Gedi, which is a mother and the offspring are Min Echad, that's called similarity. And maybe here the Torah is more Machmir. Well, I'm going to prove to you from Rachel, where there is no Issa Shechita of Eim U'Pinav Yom Echad, and yet there's an Issa Bishul Basa B'cholov. So we see that dissimilarity, as far as the perspective of Shechita is concerned, is not a neutralizing factor. It doesn't mitigate the Issa, because there's an Issa Basa B'cholov, even in the case of Eiz with Rachel, where there would not be an Issa Shechita of Eim Uvlad Biyom Echad. So the dissimilarity, the two meaning here of Eiz and Rachel, does not upset the apple cart and does not remove Rachel from the parsha of the Issur Bishul Basa B'cholov. So now if you're introducing dissimilar, right, the fact that it's not similar, then I have a kal v'chomer to Para, because when we get to Maaser, we see that Rachel is that much closer to Eiz than is Para, because Rachel belongs to the same family of Tzon, whereas Para belongs to the family of Bakar, meaning that Rachel is Nichneses Ima L'Saser with Eiz, whereas Para is Eina Nichneses Ima L'Saser. So Para certainly has a greater Richuk than Rachel. And if we've already proven that despite the richuk, there is still an Isur Bishul Basa B'cholov, then we might want to suggest the Kamachor and say, well, where the richuk is even greater, then how much more so should there be an Isur Basa B'cholov? So this is what I understand so far from Rashi. However, this is not the end of the story. This is not going to be Rashi's, as we say in Yiddish, Unta Shashura. This is not the bottom line. Rashi has a question on this sugya, and he says the following: Ketzad, how is it possible, Nilman, to derive Achoso Gedola Mitzad Hashoga? Halo Kvar Niksha Mala Imo Shasura Imo Mishchita. Tomar Bachoso Gedola She'ena Sura Imo Mishchita. Rashi says that this derivation of Para from Rachel can only be justified if we absolutely know with all certainty that Rachel is included in the Issur Bishul Basa B'cholov. Why? Because if we don't know that, then what are you going to prove from Rachel, meaning Achoso Ketana? After all, Rachel is not included in the Issur Shechita. So if we're going to reject the Kal V'chomer from Kiruv to Richuk in Parah, because Adarab, we see in Shechita the Torah is more Machmir when it's the same min, then that same logic should apply if you want to derive Achosu Ketana, because Achosu Ketana is also a separate min, and it's not included there for the Shechita of Eim Ubina B'Yom Echad, and therefore maybe the Torah wouldn't be Machmir and Bishul. And Rashi is saying we don't have any ribui at this point in the sugya from Yitur the Krah to establish that Rachel is included in the Isur Basa B'Cholav. So that our interpretation of this Gemara is predicated on what seems to be a false premise, namely that we can derive Parah from Rachel. But where does Rachel derive from? In other words, the same pircha to the Kal V'Chomer that applies to Parah can apply to Rachel. Namely, just like Parah is considered Richuk, it's a different min as far as Shechita is concerned. Therefore, maybe the Torah excluded it from the Isur Bishul Bas Mechal. That logic should apply to Rachel as well, insofar as Rachel is also not included in the Isur Shechita of Eim Ubina B'Yom Echad. So basically, Rashi is lost on the very premise here the Gemara seems to be operating with, according to what we've said, that we could derive Parah from Rachel. I mean, where's Rachel itself derived from? And in the previous Gemara that I pointed out to you, where it says Afani Avi Achoso Ketana, that's not based on Yitur the Krah. That's based on some sort of a Tzad HaShava, but we don't know exactly what that Tzad HaShava is. Now, at this point, Rashi suggests an answer, but we'll soon see that Rashi's not happy with this answer for two reasons. But let's see what the answer is. Rashi says that what the Gemara is suggesting is, why do we need a ribui for Achoso Gedola, meaning for Parah, when we have a Tzad HaShoveh for Achoso Ketana? What the Gemara was bothered by is, why not do it the other way around? Why not use an extra pasuk of Bechalev Imo to derive Rachel and then derive Parah from a Tzad HaShoveh? So what bothers the Gemara is not the ribui dekrah, That's unnecessary and it's superfluous because we have enough logical, compelling reasons to derive this Isur even without a Yitur in the Krah. What the Gemara was bothered by was the matching, I call it. In other words, why do you assume that there's a ribui for Parah, and that's Bechalev Imo, and then you jump to the next step and you derive Rachel from a Tzad HaShoveh? Why not do it the other way around? Why not assume that the extra ribui of Bechalev Imo is coming to establish Rachel, and let's derive Parah, Achosa Gedola, right, from a Tzad HaShoveh? So that's the Gemara's question. Am I able to make them lehepach? Why don't we use the ribui for Achosa Ketana, and then we're going to derive Achosa Gedola with a Tzad HaShoveh? And Rashi rejects this pshat for two reasons. Firstly, he says it's more logical to assume that the ribui of the pasuk is coming to include Achoso Gedola rather than Achoso Ketana. Why? Because since Achoso Gedola is Chaluka Bimenu, whereas Achoso Ketana is not, and now we're talking about the law of Maaser Behema, so Achoso Gedola is Bakar, and therefore it's not Nichneses Ima L'Dir, that's a Chaluka, and you're trying to derive from this Pasuk that it's not only Chalev Imo, which means an exact identification of the same Min that generates the Isur Basa B'Cholav, but even Chaluka, well, if you're going to Chaluka, let's take it to its logical conclusion and say the Torah in two different species that have nothing in common with each other. The Torah doesn't want you to mix the meat and the milk of these two different species. Well, if that's the ribui, then the candidate here should be Parah, because Parah is certainly a radically different min than A's. relative to Rachel, which is much more similar in its mid to A's, because they all belong to Tzon, and the Nafkamina is as far as Maisa Behem is concerned. That's Rashi's first objection. And secondly, Rashi says, why does the Gemara use the language Ela Bechalev Imo Lomali? Right, if you take a look at the very next few words here on the bottom of Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, it says Enochinami, which means that we could derive a para from this Sarashova from A's and Rachel. Ela Bechalev Imo Lomali. What do you mean Bechalev Imo Lomali? We need Bechalev Imo to teach me. To teach me Rachel, or the Kash of the Gemara, maybe we're going to use right. Because right, the Kash of the Gemara, the way Rashi is suggesting, is that we need a pasuk. Let's use the pasuk for as a ribui for Rachel rather than for Parah. We'll derive Parah from a Sarah Shava. Well, how can the Gemara then turn around and say, El b'chalev imo lovely, we need the chalev imo to establish Rachel? And that was my last question in the Shia yesterday, which had me baffled. But today I'm a little bit more at home and comfortable with the fact that Rashi is also bothered by this question.
It's a very long Rashi. Right. Yeah, he was very troubled by a lot of this.
Right. Now, as a result of this entire presentation of Rashi, Rashi starts from scratch here, and we're going to relearn the whole sugya based on Rabbi Yosef Tuva Elim. Now, Rabbi Yosef Tuva Elim is one of the Bali Atosis that's a little bit more rare, and he's more famous for his piyutim.
Right.
But in any event, he has a new pirush in this sugya. We've been assuming that Achoso Gedola refers to a para, and Achoso Ketana to a Rachel. Scrap that, says Rabbi Yosef Tuva Elim. But rather, we're talking about the same bid, meaning we're talking about the bid of a Gedi, which is an A's, and Gedola and Ketana have to do with when the A's was born. So Gedola means it's an Alta goat from last year, so it's not that old really, but it's more than a year old, and therefore wasn't born together with this Gedi that was born currently in this year. And the law is that in Maaser Behema, you're not mafresh from one year to the other. Bishona zu al shona cheres. So the Achoso HaGedola here is referring to the same bin, namely the A's, but it wasn't born together with this Gedi in the same year. So let's say, for example, last year we were already mafresh Maaser Behema for last year's group of Izim. So this A's, which is now a year old, was already Me'usar, Kfar His Asra. And says Rabbi Yosef Tuvel, what is Achoso Ketana? That's referring to a Gedi that was born in this year, together with the Gedi. And both of them together could be Nechnasim Ledir Lis Aser. That's Hakof Aleph, a whole new pshat in Achoso Gedola, Achoso Ketana. But we're not finished yet. Now we get to Hakof Beis, and he says that the two brisos are coming both to darshan yitura de psukim, the extra psukim. They're not arguing one against the other. Both brisos were authored by the same Tana. And what does that mean? Three times the Torah repeats B'chalev Imo. The first one, we needed Legufe for the din itself. But we have two extra superfluous B'chalev Imos in the Torah that are both ripe for drushos. So the first brisa is going to derive from one of the two Chalev Imos, the two extra Chalev Imos, a ribui for Para and Rachel. And the second brisa, which is addressing the third chalev imo, the second extra superfluous chalev imo, is going to darshan an iser basa b'cholav in the case of achoso hagedola, which means in the case of the Chalev A's from last year's A's. And the Gemara now is going to clarify that in the case of Chalev Achoso Ktana, which means the A's of this year, or we'll call it the Gdi of this year, that's going to be derived from a Tzad HaShoveh between Imo, which is A's, and Achoso Agdol and last year's A's. He says the following, Ubarishona ein lemeide miyitar apasuk rak parva rochel. In the first brisa, which is addressing the first superfluous chalev imo and deriving what do you call para and rochel, the logic is that since para and rochel are asurim imo beharba, so these are different species than the A's as far as the iser of crossbreeding. And therefore, it makes sense that the Torah would include these other species in the Iser of Basar B'Chalav. Now we're up to the second Chalev Imo, which is extra. And now we're going to derive Achoso Gidola, which means the Alta goat from the previous year. And in that case, there's no Iser Harba. And if there's no Iser Harba, then Lechora, there's no Richuk. And if there's no Richuk, then it would not be included in the first Yitur Dekra. Because the first Yitur Dekra that comes to include Para and Rachel, that's because in Hilchas Iser Harba, these are separate Midim, and then you have this concept that we spoke about Richuk, about Chalukah. But that would not give me any conclusion about A's from last year, because in the case of A's from last year, the Torah was not machmir with harba. So I can take last year's goat and breed it together with this year's goat. That's not a problem. And therefore, I need a special ribui for Achoso Agdola of last year's A's. And that the logic of this inclusion, of this ribui, is going to be that Eina Nechneses Ima Ladir Lis'aser, meaning that last year's A's cannot be combined with this year's A's in the same deer for purpose of Maser, because you can't be Mafresh Maser from one year to the other year. So that sets up last year's A's, the Alta A's, as a separate bin, so to speak. And it gives me enough of a chiluk to include last year's A's in the prohibition of Basar B'Chalav. So we have two extra Chalev Imos. The first is coming to include Parah and Rachel, insofar as they are separate medium, and we have the Richuk element, Haraya Harba. Now I need another ribui where there's no harchaka in harba, for example in A's, but there's harchaka as far as Afrashas Masa is concerned because it's last year's A's. And that's the second extra chalev ima. Now once we have that, now we're ready, enter stage, front stage, Tzad HaShoveh. And the purpose of the Tzad HaShoveh is to derive Achoso Ktan, which means another Gedi that was born together with this Gedi in the same year. In that case, since they're both born in the same annual, right, it's Nechneses Evil Adir Lis'asa, so I need somehow to derive the conclusion that despite the similarity here, because they both belong to the same min, they both belong to the same year, there's no Iser Harba, and yet in Ma'aser they're equal, I need now to somehow derive that even in that case, there would be an Iser Basar B'Chalav. Now, in brackets here, he writes the following: Vitzarach l'rabos kol gedia she'ena imo mamish. So he's saying that Pshuta Shel Mikra tells me that you can't that the Torah prohibits you from cooking the meat of this gedi with the chalav of its mother. That's for sure. So that's called the imo mamish. And then we're going to move out from that to another eis, the chalev eis of that same year, right, that was born in the same year. And here we have a kula that is no Iser Harba, and we have a great similarity between the two because they're both born in the same year, they're both Lichnesis Imo Lis'aser. Then he writes, Ulahalona Braisa Afshoelis Hi Atzma Bechelba Bidayim. In other words, what happens if he cooks? First, he extracts milk from a goat. Then he shechts the goat, and he takes a piece of meat from that goat and cooks it with the milk of that same goat. And that's not included in this pasuk because the pasuk says imo, and this is not imo. That's its own milk. Amalohi atzma bechelba. But how do we know that you're enjoined from cooking the meat with its own chalav? Oh, b'chalev achoso gedola oktana. Now it seems, if I understand correctly, that Rashi accepts Rav Yosef Tov Elan. I think, if I am correct.
My reading says that agrees.
That he accepts it. Okay. Now, let's understand the Kalachomer. Uma imo shenichneses. Shenichneses imo ledir lis'aser. Is a choso hagdola shelo nichtasa imo ledir lis'aser. Why? Because again, it's from a different year, and not only that, you already won mafresh maser on that. Is eno din shenesra imo bibishol. And the Gemara again is operating with that concept called richuk. The Gemara rejects this. With what pircha? Mala imo shenesra imo Bishchita. Which, if I'm not mistaken, is the second Yitur HaPosuk. The first was used for Parah and Rachel, if I understand Rav Yosef Tov Elan. Umasha Lomda Akamar Achosok Ketana Mitzad Hashem Yesh Lahakshos. Ech no menes tchilas hadin be'imo, halo achoso ketana eina chaluka be'imo, lo le'in harba, v'lo le'in kachnosa l'dir, v'ein kalvachom b'tchilas hadin, v'yesh lo b'shabrai salom b'tchilas hadin be'imo, v'yachar b'kan b'yitur aposuk achoso stam, v'af achoso ketana b'chlal, v'ashalom na'agamor achoso ketana b'beinei, Eitzel l'ravcha de milsa shalom nikshe she'ein lilmon achosok tano. These are some of the details here. Ubir kushas ha-gemara yihochi achosok dola nami teisei mibeinei hainu shenilmon achosok dola, that means gedi with the zkena mibein imo upara, when we combine Imo with a para, and para again we are derived from the first yitura of chalev imo. V'lo shenilman para mibein imo v'rachel. Okay, so it's imo upara. And v'kach nilmat. This is the nature of the logical derivation. Ma imo shenichneses imo Lidir lisaser neser ibo bibishal achos hakdol she'edit ekdes sibul lisaser shekvar neser b'shona hakodemes is eino din she'neser ibo bibilo ve'im tifroch bale ibo she'neser ibo b'shchita tovim achos hakdol shelo neser ibo b'shchita. Now, why is achos hakdol lo neser ibo b'shchita? I guess it means that this achos hagdola was not the mother of this gedi that was shechted today. I guess that's what he means. Is yesh lochiach mi para shelo nesra imo b'shchita v'nesra imo b'bishul. So we have para as a precedent for the fact that even though it's not included in the chumra of the isur lav of shechita, nevertheless it's included in the isur of bishul. V'im tifroch mal parah she'neser imo beharba uvemaser, which means that the Torah is machmir in parah both with regard to harba and with regard to the fact that it's not considered mino as far as maser is concerned. Tomer b'choso gedola shelo nesra imo beharba umaser. So how can you derive achoso gedola from para? Because achoso gedola doesn't have the chumra of the iser harba, because they both belong to the same min, even though it's last year's aids. Yesh lochiach mi imo shelo nesra imo beharba uvemaser the nesra imo bibishul, which means that from imo we can derive that even though there's no chiluk at all, nevertheless there still is an iser bishul. So it means that if you want to derive achoso gedola from para, because you're going to tell me that in achoso gedola there's no iser shechita, I'll prove to you from para also that there's no lo nesiva b'shechita. But if you're going to have a pircha that para is included in the iser harba, whereas achoso gedola is not included in the iser harba, so then I'm going to introduce imo. Imo has no Isra Arba, and yet there's an Isra Bishul B'Cholov. And that's called V'Chozer Adin, and there's going to be a Tzad HaShavah between Imo and Paro. Ulefizem uvenes heitev kushas hagmor lahalon ele B'Cholov Imo B'Chalev Imo Lomoli Sharei B'Chalev Imo Echad Bolagufo Sheini L'Ravos Chalev Paro V'Rochel Umiak Sheish Lulmo Rachoso Gedolu K'tana Bibein imo upara in kein kasha ma bol labdenu ma shenem b'chalev imo pam shlishis. Ah, that's what we have to understand.
That's what this question is.
That since we're going to derive para from the extra chalev imo, I don't need a third chalev imo because I have one legufe, which let's call it imo. I have one lipara, and when I take imo and para and I put them together, I have a tzad hashaveh, and I can derive achoso gedola and even achoso ketana from imo and para through this tzad hashaveh. And if I don't understand, why do I need that third chalev imo? So the Gemara says we boil it. We need that third chalev imo lichedesanya for a brisa. B'chalev imo eli ela b'chalev imo. And now we're going to turn to Daf Kuf Yudal and Omen Beis. Is he atzma b'chalav aminayim? How do we know that the Torah would prohibit if you shechted the gedi after you took its milk, and now you cook that shechted gedi with its own milk? That's a chalev imo. Is amrit kal v'chomer? Uma b'makom shalom nesar pri im pri.
Just one second. I'm not sure I understand the question.
Chaleb Imo means there's a mother Aes and there's a child called the Gdi. So I ate the Gdi together with the Chaleb of its mother. What happens if I took out Chalav? I only have one in my whole possession. All I have is one Aes, right? And I took that Aes, I extracted its milk. Here the milk is sitting on the table. Today it's a problem, we didn't have milk, but we had milk. And now I shecht this gidi and I cook the meat of that Aes, let's say, with this milk. It's its own milk. That's not what the Torah is talking about.
Oh, I see, because the Basal Pasuk says Bechalei Bimo. So the question is whether...
Bimo, right, so the two different sources. I'm combining the Basal with the Chalav of the mother. But what happens if I'm combining the Chalav with its own basa?
In other words, which doesn't qualify as chalev imo.
Correct. So the Gemara says a kal v'chomer ma b'mokom shalom nesar. That now here we're going back to the isur shechita of emu b'na b'yom echad lo nesar pri im pri b'shechita. So let's say, for example, the mother gives birth to two offspring. They're siblings. And you want to shecht both of these siblings on the same day, the Torah allows that. And that's called in the Lashon HaShas pre-impri, right? Because if we look at the mother, she has two peros. She has one vlad and another vlad. Two banim, if you will, from one baim. So if I want to shecht these two banim, I'm allowed to. And nevertheless, nesar pri im ha'em b'shechita, right? I'm not allowed to shech the offspring together with its mother on the same day.
Also vespino.
And that's also vespino. Is therefore, now we're ready for the kal v'chomer. Makom shenesar pri im pri b'bishul, which we'll see how to work that out, is eino din shenesar pri im ha'em b'bishul. Now, what the Gemara is doing now, this Braisa, is it's postulating that the Chalav is called Pri. And it's no different than the offspring. The Gemara is postulating an exact parallel between the Chalav and the offspring. Because the Chalav is produced by the mother. Now, we just finished saying that if you have two offspring, you're allowed to shech them both together on the same day. But yet, when it comes to Bishul, the Torah says that the two offspring, meaning the Gdi and the Chalav of the Aim, both of which are offspring of the Aim, that's called Pri and Pri, you're not allowed to be Mavashalim together. Is Eino Din, how much more so? Shenesar Pri Im Ha'Aim B'Bishul. That if he wants to take the pre, meaning the milk of this very A's, and cook them together, how much more so that there should be an Isur Bishul? Right? Because what was your paradigm? Your paradigm was Shechita. In Shechita, we said that the mother with its offspring, its own offspring, is prohibited under Shechita. If we mirror image that to the case of Bishul Basav Chalav, it would be the mother with its offspring, which would be Chalav. Because again, we keep insisting that Chalav is a pre. So that's going to be what we call pre-im ha'em. And pre-im ha'em is an exact parallel to Shechita, because Shechita is pre-im ha'em, meaning that you're not allowed to shech the offspring together with the mother. And where does the kal v'chomer enter into the picture? Because in the case of Shechita, there was no Isur Pri and Pri, what we call two siblings from the same mother. Whereas in the case of Basav v'Chalav, that is the classic case that the Torah prohibits of Gedi v'Chalev Imo, which is really Pri and Pri. So you see that the Torah is even more machmir and bishul than it was in Shechita. Then how much more so if you have the mother with its pri, which in this case would be the mother with its own milk, for certainly that would be included under the Isur Basav v'Chalav. Tamu lomar chalev imo. And once again, we don't understand the structure of the braisa. You just finished convincing me that I can derive the chalev of this very Aes in Basav v'Chalav from a kal v'chomer. Why do you then quote a pasuk? Halamali kraha asile, you already derived it from a kamachor. Why do I need this pasuk? Omer Rav Ach Devoy Bar Ami. Mishum de'ika le'meimar. Does he comes up with a pircha to undermine this kalvachomer by introducing harba? Now, in the case of harba, the Torah prohibits pri and pri. But we'll have to see what that means. So, pri and pri, which in the case of Shechita was mutter, you could shech the two offspring on the same day, but in the case of Arba, you're not allowed to, you won't be able to be, to crossbreed the two offspring. Now, again, when we read those words, it doesn't make any sense. You know, if they're two offspring and they're siblings, they're the identical min, why would there be an Iser Kelayim of Arba? Well, so what's the case? The case is sus ben susya. Susya is a female horse, so you have a male horse and a female horse that are mating, and they have a horse, right? So the horse is the son of the sus and the susya. But what if that son is achi pirda? So I made a little chart here. Take a look at this chart. You breed a sus with a susa, and you have a sus. But that same mother was bred with a chamor, which I think is called in English a donkey. And the two of them together had a pirda, which is a mule. So a mule is a half horse because its mother is a horse, and a half donkey because its father is a donkey. Correct? Now, what's the relation between this sus and this pirda? The relationship is that they are siblings insofar as they share the same mother. So they are maternal brother and sister. The sus and the pirida, they share the same mother. If they share the same mother, then each of these, vis-a-vis the mother, could be called a pri. This sus is a pri to the susa, and the pirida likewise is a pri. And yet it's asur barba. We're not allowed to mix this sus with the pirida and crossbreed them. We're going to see why in a minute, and that has to do with the father. But right now the father's out of the picture.
It's a chiddush to say that this is, there is harba.
It's sus and pirda. You would think that the similarity and the fact that they share the same mother would maybe make them one min. Mm-hmm. But again, the chiddush is going to be that the sus is going to make a difference. And they don't share the same father, but we're not ready for that yet. Right. That Gemara is going to come up with that in a minute. So she'asur pri and pri, right? So we're calling this pri and pri, and yet the Torah says this is an iser harba. And yet, mutter pri im ha'em. Right, so if I want to breed this sus, which is the son of this mother horse, with its mother, I'm allowed to do that. Why? Because they are 100% the same min. So there's no Isra Harba. So That's called pri im ha'em in the Gemara's language.
Mutter pri im ha'em.
And yet that's mutter. So the mother with its own offspring is permissible, and there's no violation of crossbreeding. And this is going to undermine our entire kalvachomer, because what was that kalvachomer? It was based on the fact that in the case of Bishul Basar Mechalav, pri im pri is asur, correct? And why is pri and pri asur in the case of basar mechalav? Right, you have the milk, which we said is the pri, and then you have the gedi, which is the pri. So both the milk and the gedi are children, so to speak, or creations of offspring of the mother. So that's called pri and pri, and that's definitely asur. That's explicit in the Torah that lo sfashal gedi b'chalev imo. So that's pri and pri. So we wanted to say that if pre is asur, how much more so is pre imhaim asur? Right, because we saw the case of shechita as a paradigm that pre imhaim, right, which is the mother and its offspring, is asur in shechita. So certainly in bishul basa b'chol, where the Torah is machmir pre, but all now I have to do is I have to show you one case, and that would be achieve my goal as a pircha, where pre is asur. And yet pre of Imo is Mutta. And that's going to be this case of Harba, because pre, in the case of a Susan Apirda, is Asur, and yet, paradoxically, pre of Imo, which means the mother and its offspring, is permissible. So don't tell me that in Basa B'chalav, how much more so should pre with its mother be Asur? Meaning if I take the milk out of this Gidi, and then I shef the Gidi, that I'm enjoined by the Torah from cooking the Gdi, the Basa Gdi, with its own milk. How do you know such a thing? Here's a case where pre is butter in the case of Arba with regard to Sus and Susya. Sus meaning the bed, and Susya meaning the mother. And here's where the Gemara introduces the Zera Ha'af, that we're making a big mistake here. We've been establishing our categories by pleading ignorant to the main element here of this equation, and that's the Zera Ha'af. So that's the Gemara says, Hasam, you have no proof from the case of Harba, there's no equation analogy between Harba and Basa B'chalav, because Hasam, Zera Ha'af hu de Kagarim. The reason why there's an Iser Harba of these two siblings, right, a brother and a sister, the Sus with the Pirda, is because of the Zera Ha'av, which means that this is really not pre and pre. Why? Because the Pirda has no relationship to the Sus, the father of this sibling, right? So they're not really pre and pre. It's not really fair to say it's pre and pre, because with regard to Harba, to set up a separate min that prohibits Harba is Zera Av Hu de Kagar. The Gorim is the Zera Av. And the Gemara is about to prove this from this case here. Okay, that's the second half of my diagram for today. Da Pered Ben Susya Achi Pirda Yochiach Shemuta Pri Vi Asa Pri Ma'im. Which means the following: if let's say I breed a female horse with a donkey, and let's say we get two offspring from this breeding, we get a female and a male, we'll call them a mule, a parrot, and a female mule, which is a pirda, then the halacha is that there's a heter harba, is mutal arbia haperet imachoso hapirda. Why? Because they belong to the same two parents, right? The father is the same, the mother is, everything's the same. And yet, let's say he wanted to be marbia, this parent, with the susa. He's not allowed to do that. Now, why not? The only answer is because the father is a chamor. So you see that it's zeraha. Okay, then, so let's make a note of where we got up to today.
That's the proof.
Yeah, that's the proof. Okay, whatever we accomplish. Again, this is quite a sugi, you'd have to go over 1,000 more times, but it's very profound. This is not easy stuff.
No.
Okay, let's see.